with your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. We'll decipher Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's comments at his news conference in just a couple of moments with Greg Ipp, the Journal's chief economics commentator, in just a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Millions of Americans are in the grips of bitter cold temperatures thanks to the polar vortex, but natural gas prices are not likely to shoot up in the coming weeks. Well, that's because weather forecasters say the bone-chilling weather many of us are facing will be replaced by above-normal readings, and more normal temperatures for this time of year are likely to prevail for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And the Wall Street Journal pharmaceuticals team reports although drug companies have announced they're raising prices, the actual price to consumers is falling as a result of discounts. Companies are offering bigger discounts to the middlemen who manage prescriptions for health plans. That's one way the drug companies try to win favorable treatment of their products, such as lower patient copayments. But the companies are also under growing political pressure to limit price increases. The CEO of Novartis, for example, says he expects the company's net prices to decline by a low single-digit percentage this year. Overall, net price growth in the U.S. for drugs slowed from 6% in 2016 to 2% in 2018. They say patience is a virtue, and Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said in his first news conference of the year on Wednesday, the Fed will be more patient when it comes to raising interest rates. So what does that mean about the Fed and its outlook for the economy and interest rate movement going forward? We have on the line with us Chief Economics Commentator for the Wall Street Journal, Greg Ipp, from our Washington Bureau. So, Greg, the Fed is significantly more dovish about interest rates and just in terms of its outlook than it was just 90 days ago.
That's right. This is really quite a breathtaking pivot from the message we got from the Fed in mid-December. Back then, they said the economy was great. They thought they would raise rates two more times this year, albeit they were going to do it a little less mechanically than in the past. Fast forward to today, and they've more or less signaled that they haven't just paused, but that they could be done altogether with raising interest rates. And so you saw a very powerful reaction in the stock market to this message. But I would say that I think it's got a lot of people scratching their heads, basically wondering what happened in the last 6 weeks to justify this pivot.
It seemed that Chairman Powell is talking about cross currents, and it seems to have a very big concern about the instability of economies overseas.
Chairman Powell mentioned a couple reasons to justify the more dovish tone today. One was, as you say, yes, global growth has, it was slowing in December and has continued to slow. He cited specifically Western Europe and China. He also talked about financial conditions, which is another way of saying stock markets are down and corporate credit markets are more hostile or more less welcoming. And that represents sort of a tightening of financial conditions, which in some sense negates the need to raise short-term interest rates as much. And the final point he raised was that we've had this partial government shutdown, which is almost certainly going to shave something off of economic growth in the first quarter. These all sound logical reasons for the Fed to be more cautious and careful about going forward. There are certainly sensible reasons to pause in raising interest rates. It's harder to understand why there might be a reason to stop raising rates altogether. And once again, that is not a clear explanation that we got from the Fed today.
And Greg, Fed Chairman Powell was asked about the shutdown and about the possibility of more instability going forward and the possibility of another shutdown. In his own measured way, he sort of sent out warning signs about the impact of another government shutdown. Here's Chairman Powell.
If there were going to be a permanent effect or a lasting effect, let's say, it would be from a longer shutdown or perhaps a second shutdown, and that would be through the channel of a loss of confidence in our ability to make policy in the United States. That would be the channel. And I think that was something that we and many others were worried about as there was talk of an even longer shutdown.
He usually doesn't issue as strong a statement as that.
Chairman Powell was clear that he thought that the shutdown was negative and that another shutdown would also be negative for the economy. He does generally try to keep the Fed out of discussions of politics or specific recommendations one way or the other on budget policy. But in this case, he was simply stating the obvious, what even the White House's own chief economist has said, is that we know that when you shut the federal government down, that subtracts activity from the economy. And while what we've seen thus far should not be enough to knock the economy off the rails, if you keep doing that, it does eventually add up.
And Chairman Powell in his news conference said that the Fed is in more or less a wait-and-see mode in terms of how inflation might impact interest rate movement going forward, and they want to see where inflation goes from here. And it just struck me as being in a wait-and-see mode puts us back in the Janet Yellen era and wanting to see how close the interest, how close inflation might get to the 2% Fed threshold for inflation.
Right. I think that if there was anything important that may have changed in the last 6 weeks, it may in fact be the view of how much inflation risk there is out there. There's always been two main ingredients to what the Fed thinks is the outlook for inflation. One is expectations. Do people expect inflation to be higher or lower in the next year or two? Because those expectations can be self-fulfilling. And the second is the degree of slack in the economy. Are there a lot of unused resources, which tends to put downward pressure on prices and wages? Well, here we are with the unemployment rate still near a 50-year low, so there isn't a lot of slack in the economy. But on the other hand, we haven't seen expectations go anywhere either, and actual inflation continues to come in on the low side. So the Fed might be coming around to the view that there's just a lot less sort of inflation risk in the economy than they've been used to. And maybe that justifies an extended period with rates at historically low levels.
You know, you mentioned that people are scratching their head in some cases about what Chairman Powell said on Wednesday. And when you consider how quickly the Fed swung to being dovish, I wonder if it makes some investors concerned about any changes in the economy that could make the Fed swing to being more hawkish in a short amount of time as well.
So Chairman Powell was beaten up quite a lot by a lot of market commentators in December for coming across as sounding too hawkish, both on the path for interest rates and on the size of the Fed's balance sheet, which at the time it was shrinking on a schedule that he then described as autopilot. And he was widely sort of panned for being tone deaf to the worries that were so obviously quite pronounced in the market at the time. So it's possible that he was simply overcompensating this time around, that as much as he had gone to too far to the hawkish side, then he's trying to average out by going more to a dovish side this week. And if that's the case, then he has in some sense succeeded, because the market is rallying as strongly now as it sold off after that last go-round. But it could turn out to be a mistake. You know, the Fed can't really fine-tune how the market's going to respond to anything it says. The best it can do is just really say it like it is, say what it sees out there, you know, be as upfront with the markets and the public as it can be about what it thinks it can do and what it expects to do. Otherwise, you're going to be in this endless cycle of constantly trying to fine-tune your message in response to what the markets have done. So I do worry a little bit that if, in fact, Powell is trying to calm the markets here, he's just storing up a problem for himself later this year.
And the thought is that he's going to be issuing or holding news conferences each time there is a meeting of the FOMC. So at least we're not going to have too many stretches of time of mystery in terms of how he and the group of FOMC officials are thinking.
No, we won't have that much time between press conferences. On the other hand, if each press conference yields a market reaction as strong as this one or the last one, then I think it's storing up a fair bit of volatility for the markets for the coming year.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal chief economics commentator Greg Ipp on the line from us from our Washington bureau. Greg, thanks for coming on with us.
Always a pleasure.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.